What did he get here?
Valentine's.
Wow.
The luck is there.
We're good? It is 6 o'clock, and it's time to start our city council meeting this evening. We appreciate all of you that are here for coming this evening. And we're going to begin with an invocation and pledge. Amanda?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Heavenly Father, we come today together today grateful for the chance to serve our community. Grant this council wisdom that sees beyond the moment, patience that listens with compassion, and courage to make decisions that uphold fairness, dignity, and the common good. Guide us to lead with integrity, humility, and steady hearts. May our discussions tonight be respectful, productive, and grounded in the genuine desire to help our neighbors thrive. Amen.
Amen.
Please rise for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thanks, Amanda. First on our agenda this evening, we have the Hurricane High School Robotics Club here. Who's going to come up and tell the council what you're here for? And what you do. We know what you're here for.
You want to just tell me to hit the slide?
Oh, yeah,
want to hit the slide?
Yeah.
Okay, so we are the Hurricane Robotics Team, Team 1937, from Hurricane High School. We're an FRC team, and we are the only FRC team in Southern Utah. So there's FRC teams from all around the world, and we are the only one in Southern Utah. So, starting off, a couple of our captains from last year came here last year, and we visited a whole bunch of city councils, and we were able to get support from you guys. And with that support, we were able to do great things last year. Do you want to hit the slide? Another one. We went to use a qualifier, a conference qualifier we could go, and you compete with our robot, and you do sign up and try out all these awards, and we were able to make it to Worlds, which is in Houston, Texas. If you want to hit the slide again? So teams from all over the world, our robot's coming in and out. There were over 50,000 people and kids and students inside this one independent convention center, and it was just really inspiring. So yeah, this year we've got our competition, and this is a prototype right now that we're working on. We have to shoot those balls into like this immediate point. And that's what we did. So we're here to ask for support in both our team and the community and growing STEM just in general. And can I have
Okay, so basically, one of our favorite things to do with our time is to go out and just interact with all the kids in our community. It is like our favorite thing on the entire planet, and it's like 80% of why we do robotics. Because seeing the excitement on those kids' faces when they get to do something like with the robot, like they just get to cast balls and launch it, or they get to help launch it, or they figure out how the code works, like it lights them up. It is so cool to see that at such a young age. So we go out, we visit elementary schools, and we try and use every elementary school in the entire district. And actually, my first school this year was Lurkin. So our first elementary school this year was Lurkin, and that was so much fun. They were so sweet. I love interacting with them. We do STEM night. So STEM night is basically the high school hosts this Ignite at the high school where you can literally just come and you get to interact with a whole bunch of different like science committees, and like schools will bring teachers and they'll bring their favorite activities to do with kids. This year we did bottle rockets, and we had our robot and was launching dodgeballs, and the Central Destroying Club was there. It was amazing. Lots of people showed up. It was so awesome. It was so much fun. It's really good for family-centered stuff, so the parents could see what their kids can get involved in the community. The FTC qualifier. So basically in Utah, Wichita. All of the main, as you guys probably know, all of the main tech stuff is mostly up north. So what we try to do is start bringing that back. So we host an ITC qualifier, which is basically the second level of competition for our robotics program. And we try to provide them an opportunity to come to a competition down here for the teams that don't have the opportunity to have their own competition down here. Most of them are hosted back and forth. So we try to give them that chance to have one in our hometown, and so they don't travel, and it just makes it a little more fair for them as well. And then it's just fun. Like, we love doing it. It's like our favorite thing. We basically just try to reach as many people as the Utah as possible, and push their that message of STEM that you don't actually talk very often, and in the process, it's helped us build our leadership skills, our communication skills. We're better at problem solving now, and our engineering skills got better as the process of solving problems with the robot. It's kind of amazing. These are pictures of us engaging with the students. Yeah, it's so much fun.
Okay, so the other reason we're here is we want to start, we see a need for more STEM and more education, and we want to connect industry to education, and so we can build more, because the future is STEM, and it's growing rapidly, and especially growing down here, and we want to advocate and find ways to connect those things, and we're just going to tell us more about it.
Speak into the mic there.
So our goal is to connect industry and education, and we believe that our partnership together as a community and as our robotics team can help build that bridge. And basically what that looks like is gaining support and also creating initiatives to bridge that gap. An idea that we have is for a STEM coalition. What that means is that we want people from communities in our area to come into a coalition where we can gap industry and education. And what that means is looking for needs in industry and looking for what the skills we have in education so that we can build students to one day fulfill those jobs. And so we can grow our community and we can grow our industry. Next slide, please.
Okay, so obviously we want to come to you guys, our community, to ask for some help. And we want to create a STEM committee, kind of like what Brie was saying. We want to get local leaders from all around Southern Utah and kind of to just start a coalition and to be able to be a voice for STEM in our community. And we hope to use our local governments to better involve industry and education, just like Brie was saying, to bridge the gap and to connect students with the community and not just in the school. So you guys are probably wondering what is a TANCU, and basically this is a return investment. Like James started off, was with the successes we brought back, and we are able to do a lot with anything you guys give us, so we're just really grateful for your time. And next slide. If you guys want to help us, we want to make this a big impact around all Southern Utah. Any questions you have?
Any questions from the council?
What's your robot's name?
This is actually the prototype, so that's up to you. The old one, the pre-season robot, was dismantled about a week ago.
They all have a name, don't they? Like,
what's the pre-season robot?
It's kind of like as a passive and Bornean, so I don't
know. Oh my goodness. Maybe we can call it
I think Scott's kind of piney thing. I think you should name it Scott.
Yeah, they have a few glitches, I can tell you that.
Does it work?
It did.
I was going to say, it's just some wires hanging out.
What is the FRC that you're on?
Okay, yeah. So we're part of a program called FIRST, and that's like a big STEM robotics program. And then inside the FIRST, there's three different programs. There's FLL, which is like elementary school, which is FIRST Lego League. So they build Legos and do competitions there. And then the next one's FTC,
Any other questions?
What kind of help or support do you guys need?
I know what they need.
I don't think it's donuts. But
I mean, those are always donuts. We're going to laugh so much.
Essentially, we want to form a little bit of a committee. So if there is someone on your council that thinks this is amazing and they want to help get students interested in this at a young age and let them know what type of opportunities they can have in their community, then we're essentially trying to grab someone from each city council in our area and then connect them with someone from our education system. It could be us on our team or essentially, hopefully, someday from the school district. And we're going to form a little coalition, and they're essentially going to have a conversation every once in a while, like whenever they feel like it, to discuss how can education systems provide better programs to increase the opportunities they receive when they graduate. We have alumni who have graduated from a high school in a school district that had been in the IGT program, and they just get accepted for girls right away because they have had those base programs that have built them to be better students and more prepared for whatever future they may want. So if they want to teach in the industry, they have those opportunities throughout school and through other programs that school provides. So when they graduate, they can go and do whatever job they want to do. So if there's someone on the committee that's in charge of science and they just get in contact with people in the area who are doing like biochemistry or things like that, then they can help connect them with the programs they need to be connected with either through a tech or through the school system so they can be prepared for that future.
Well, I think you guys are a lot smarter than I am, but I'm definitely interested. I'm 100% for it. And I'm so excited to see all you guys so excited about this. So
you're volunteering.
Yeah, I will volunteer.
There you go.
Thank you.
Yeah, go ahead. Thank you so much for your support, but also just even support for STEM initiatives in programs in general for our community as a whole would be so helpful to get families and children and students involved and to introduce them into this and so we can build our community. Other than that, I'm sure you can see that robotics is very expensive, and that is something that we struggle with. Last year we used $60,000. $20,000 of that we went to World with. And we have to do transportation, to build our robot. There's so many things that go into that. We use money to go and visit schools and to have programs for all kinds of people. And with that, we need support. And so we're also here to ask for support in any way, but financially is also something that we can help improve our program with and to take that further.
Last year we did give some money to the program, and it's up to the council if they want to give some more money again. So, and I know Kyle can find some. If
last if year we donated $1,000.
What's the council think?
I think that's excellent. I think we should do the same this year.
Thank you.
Everybody okay with that?
Yep.
All right.
Are you guys familiar with IME? So IME is a robotics company here. In fact, they're building that building in Tokyo, that big stand-up building.
Oh, that's Derek Hall?
Yeah. Leo started that out of his garage, and now he has 26 employees in about 4 or 5 years. And they build panic. You know, they use the panic robots, and it's unbelievable the opportunities for this kind of stuff.
I think Precision Swiss, have you been to them to talk to them? That, I know he makes all kinds of things with his equipment, and it might be a good place to go visit and see if you can get him to support you, because he might be able to help you build things.
What's his name again?
Is Dick or
Dick
what?
Hoffman.
Dick Hoffman.
LV Swiss.
LV Swiss, yeah.
And we're working here.
Okay, thank you
and
so much.
Putting robotics again in real life, other situations. My daughter's a welder at St. George Steel. Her roommate runs the robot welder there, and they're both qualified and trained to run that. And they're, I think, the only two, I believe, in St. George. So it's the first robot welder to come to St. George, I believe.
That's really awesome.
That was really cool.
Could you tell me what company they work with?
It's St. George Steel is where they work.
Yeah, that'd be super interesting. Yeah.
love to hear from them too. Go and talk to them.
I can definitely try to work something out.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful.
S&S Steel is the one that operates St. George Steel too, so
yeah,
you can talk to S&S Steel in Hurricane. So.
Tell them that we're considering sending them notice.
And tell them that they definitely can donate money to you. So.
Why don't you go on to the Whitaker Construction website? If you want to write that down, there's a portion inside of there where you can ask for donations for things like this. And we, Whitaker, I believe, donated $500 to your system a couple of years ago. Put in a request there.
He wants Whitaker, so
you'll most likely
if the council wants to give them some money, I got to give them some instructions on how to get that money. So as the council decides they're going to give them,
what's the instructions?
You put your right foot in, you put your right foot out.
I gave you my email address. You need to send me an invoice.
Okay.
It just says who it's going to be paid to and where it needs to be sent, or I can hold it and you can come and pick it up.
Okay, yeah, that's perfect.
That will cost you candy water.
I can do that. What are we talking? What are all your
favorite places? It's got to be less than $50.
Right? He likes Tootsie Roll.
I'm good. I don't.
He doesn't need candy. Look at him.
What's that?
I
can
read your email. Oh,
just
yeah.
Just give the tag already.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Perfect.
But if you guys... I have to have an invoice for you. Is the council okay to give them $1,000?
Yeah.
Everybody was
last
okay.
Last year we made sure we gave more than Hurricane did. So.
How much does Hurricane give?
We see them.
Tomorrow. Yeah.
Honestly, you can tell them we gave you $2,000. Maybe they'll try to
add that. We're not going to give you
$2,000.
That's just what we're going to tell them.
You can work them really hard. So.
How did you? I mean, if it did cost $60,000, I mean, I'm just curious. I mean, how did you have a chance to be able to finance your program?
A lot of different ways. There's grants from Air Force of North. We have grants from Utah and FIRST program, and we go around distances and we go walk around distances, going inside and talking to them and asking for any kind of help. And we find help and they come.
Our community is kind of amazing like that. It may be small, yeah. But there's so many different opportunities and people that just want to help, and it's so amazing. Yeah.
This is fantastic to see all of you so into things like this. Engineering is a great thing, and you don't see a lot of girls going into engineering, and it's good to see.
Yeah. We're going to change that.
Yeah.
I'm glad that I am
here for it.
Well, Taylor will be my contact. Because I know her. I don't know the rest of it, so.
Yeah, that's perfect. Thank you so much again for all of your time. Thank you guys so much.
Absolutely. You can get my contact information when you email Kyle.
Okay, yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, well, thanks for coming.
Yeah, thank you.
And good luck this year. Win world. Okay, next on the agenda is Republic Services.
I want to play with robotics. Hi guys, I'm Jennifer Collins, Republic Services, Washington County, Four Corners Business Unit. Thank you for having me here, Mayor and Council members. Batteries. What do we do with batteries?
Throw them in the garbage.
No! You are already on my list.
We sort garbage. Sorry.
Batteries do not go in trash. They do not go into the recycle container. Luckily, Washington County Solid Waste District is now hot printing no batteries on all the containers. So that's a wonderful thing. We have an opportunity for you, free, from Republic Service, a one-time shot. It's a 1.5-gallon bucket. As you can see, give you one of these, put it up above where the bucket would be, and have all your residents bring the batteries I run around once a month, every other month, and I'll come pick them up so you don't have to ship them back, saving you money. Why is it important? Anybody?
Fire.
Fire. Fire on our trucks. How much do trucks cost? Fire brands, not here. Trucks are very expensive. We've had 3 fires last year in 2025.
I think one of them dumped right in our church parking lot right out my window.
That's right. And why? Because battery. Do you have more slides?
That's all it comes.
Okay. So I have pictures of all the truck fires. They're a bad thing. And your fire chief will tell you they're caused by the batteries that come in. You know that one little AAA battery, once it gets crushed, can start that fire. Think about all your residents that put their batteries in the trash. Think about that truck. That's a very expensive truck. What then happens? Our rates go up. Right? Also, if it doesn't happen in the truck, it could happen at the landfill because they have loaders, movers, big equipment, smashing those batteries, and it can start the fire. Okay? So please, since we don't have any slides. Yeah.
It says slideshow 101.
You can also take your batteries to Lowe's. Lowe's has a blue bin at the double doors entry to your left. Is a large metal blue bin for light bulbs and batteries. We also don't want light bulbs in the trash either. But right now we're talking about batteries.
What do light bulbs do?
Light bulbs can start fires also.
Really?
When the filament breaks, it can start the fire also.
I didn't know
you're
that.
You're learning
me neither.
Yeah. And what do we do with our recycled products?
Recycle them.
I'm giving them a hard time.
I don't have a blue bin.
The bucket that I can supply, if you guys would like one, free, can be sent in the next 2 weeks. But they're only household batteries. So AAA up to the big D. Lithium batteries are a no-no. Lithium batteries can go to Home Depot. Car batteries, EV batteries, everything else, take back to your AutoZone, your NAPAs, your car places. You can take those there. Because if you're buying a new battery, a lot of the times when you take the battery to them, it's free. Sometimes it's a $5, $10 charge for them to dispose of. That's all I have. Any questions?
We want the bucket.
Is that unanimous?
Yes.
Okay. We will get a bucket ordered. It'll be delivered, addressed to you.
Perfect. And we'll put it in the front for you. Not this office, but the other one.
Correct. And then you want to put the sign so your residents know. When they come in to pay, they can bring the batteries and drop them right off.
That comes with a sign?
I will give the sign to her. That's why I brought it. Any other questions?
Are you getting this information out to all the citizens anyway, or just others in coming to council?
I have sent the information. Would like to. I will send the flyer information that you can put on your newsletter and on your town websites.
Okay.
And I can get that built this week and send it over to you.
That would be great.
Yeah. Sure. The more education, the better.
We can put it on social media for you if you get something to me or Nancy.
Yeah. And I'd like Amanda to tell her story.
Oh. I was telling her that, I think it was about a year and a half, 2 years ago, my husband was working at Interstate Rock in the Laverkin pit, and he saw some smoke coming up and realized there was a fire truck or a dump truck on fire, or a garbage truck on fire, and he was running the water truck that day, and he went by and put the water on it and started putting the fire out before fire got there. So
that's one of the things we
got. And that was, we were guessing it was lithium batteries. So.
Just question, but don't trash trucks have fire suppression capabilities?
They do and they don't. If we can catch it quick enough, yes. But a lot of times we're hauling and don't want to move in. It all depends on the age of the truck.
Okay.
We may want safety for the drivers.
Well, I'm going to quit throwing my batteries in the garbage.
Thank you. I would appreciate you.
Because I didn't know that. And I always threw them in there.
Shame on you.
I probably started a lot of fire.
Shame on you.
I'm glad the fire department's not here today.
Right.
Thank you for your time.
Okay. Thanks for coming. Next item on the agenda is the consent agenda. And this can be a single motion unless there's some discussion for the agenda.
I'll motion that we accept the consent agenda with the declaration of the conflict of interest, the agenda meeting minutes from February 4th, 2026, and the checks and invoices for $235,969.
I'll second that.
I have a motion and a second. John?
Yes.
Amanda?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Yes.
Darren. Okay. First item on the business this evening is a consideration and a possible approval of Ordinance 2026-04, an ordinance amending the Lorca City Code by removing and adding, replacing the following terms in Section 8-1-4, Statement of Charges, Delinquency, and Providing an Effective Date. This is one that we discussed as a discussion item last meeting. Is there any more discussion from the council?
My only suggestion is that for any of these that we do in the future, if we could highlight the changes. I think Derek was good at some of the ones we had last week, they were pretty good and highlighted, but just for future, if we can highlight so we know what's being changed. Other than that, I'm cool. I'm good with it.
That's a great comment. In fact, I was talking with one of the alternates on the Planning Commission, made the same comment as far as changes to ordinances and things like that, to highlight them so that everybody can pick them out a lot easier. Any other comments? Entertain a motion then.
Mayor, I'll make a motion that we approve Ordinance Number 2026-04, an ordinance amending the Lorca City Code by removing, adding, replacing the following items in Section 8-1-4, Statement of Charges, Delinquency, and Providing an Effective Date.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Aye. No. So. Okay, the next item on the agenda is consideration and possible approval of Ordinance 2026-05, an ordinance amending the cemetery rules and regulations. Again, this is one that we discussed last meeting as a discussion item only. Is there any other discussion on this ordinance change?
I did include the cemetery section.
I see that. Mention.
Yeah, I had a brief question. On the burial right, it says it's non-transferable, but then later on it talks about, if the family decides to use the plot for somebody else, it just seems like it's a little bit at odds.
It's really supposed to say transferable only under those certain conditions, if that's what you're talking about on that.
Yeah, it says here on burial right, it says the non-transferable limited right of a specific individual to be buried in a specific burial lot. So I just thought, it was a little bit different. Maybe the language needs to be changed a little bit. Because it talks about a specific individual in a specific place and it's non-transferable, and then later on it says if the family decides to use it in another way, they can change that.
We could probably take that one out. I might have not caught it. It was part of the old ordinance, so when I was rotating through. So we probably just eliminate that. I mean, now we have extra steps that they can take to get that transferred instead of saying, that's what my relative told me.
The other question I had is that there's a piece in there about resale of lots, and if the people aren't going to use it, they can sell it back to the city at either the city will buy it at either the price that they pay for it or the going price, whichever is less. And then I was kind of curious what the city does with those lots. They just put them back into inventory.
I don't know. That's part of the old ordinance, and I've never had anybody. I haven't ever. Kyle may have. I've never seen anyone back in.
An old mayor that was here in 1972, I believe, his name was Max Richens. When he was mayor, he was only mayor for a couple of years, and he bought, I think, 8 or 16 plots. He doesn't live around here, no family around here, and his son called me and said, I'd like to sell those plots back to the city. Well, in, according to the code, it's what you just said, that what he paid for it or the going rate, whatever's less. And they paid $20 a plot for it.
And they just go back to the city's inventory? Is that kind of curious?
Yeah, he kept them. But it would have gone back into the city's inventory, which would have then made them vacant, and they would have been for anybody to buy it. And he kept them. But we have to wait. It's either 99 years or 100 years before we can, if they're not used, before we can claim them back. So 2072.
I'm just curious
that
the language, how it made sense to me. So I just
We have had, but typically, most of the time, they can't show us what they paid for them. Because they're usually old and they don't know, and it's family members like that. We just happened, because he was the mayor, it was reported, and he'd paid, I think, $20 for them. So I know. He can sell them. I told him he could sell them to you or anybody else if he wanted to, and that would be a price that would be negotiated between him. They would just need to be paperwork now.
Well, see, and that would lead back to, if they're not transferable, how would they do that? You know what I mean?
I don't know.
So
I think we cross that little section out and refer to the new outline of how to go about doing that.
So we're going to cross out, you say cross out the line you just read that's, what it says, that they're not transferable, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's
in the definition section, I think. Burial, right, it's under burial.
So they would have the right to sell them to somebody else, that what you're saying?
Does
not have the right.
No, they have the right following the 3 or 4 different criteria we're giving them to provide to the city.
Yeah.
So I just probably just cast that in the definition. So we can make those changes tomorrow.
We could pass the ordinance with that stricken, with that line taken out, I believe. Does that sound okay? With anybody have other comments? Then we could entertain a motion then to pass this with that.
I'll make a motion that we approve ordinance number 2026-05. An ordinance amending the cemetery's rules and regulations, subject to Derek making those edits tomorrow based off of what we discussed.
Okay, do we have a second?
A second.
A motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 And all opposed, it looks like. So. Okay, well, that's all of our business this evening. Next item on the agenda is what Faye's been preparing for us for months now. The training, open and public meeting training. Is that what that is? OPMT? Open public meeting training?
Yeah, open public meeting.
That's a good guess. Okay.
Thank you.
Those of you that are on different boards will probably get this training again. So just be prepared.
Can I just show my certificate? Infinity window.
Can you just bring it up here? You've got open on several screens. Can you close one of those screens? There you are.
Wow, did you see that? That's
horrible. Sorry.
Nobody should have
just a
it's not a good look.
No. That's why we have those cameras.
At least you were a pro that way. No, the training is going already.
So you're training it in many different ways.
Turn it off and turn it on.
Sir, maybe try closing the main one and then
reopening
it.
Get those high school kids back here.
Yeah, no, just figure it out.
So you're going to leave me up now if I mess it up once?
It's like the screen's trying to find the end of the internet.
Is there a robotics club?
Are you sharing your screen, Derek?
I'm not doing anything. Oh. If you can get it up there and on your computer, you can bring your computer up here and plug it in. This is not.
The camera needs to be turned off because the camera is reflecting, like that part is repeating it.
Oh, see, that's where the problem was. It had nothing to do with my IT capabilities.
Unplug it and turn plug it back in.
Yeah, turn it off and turn it on.
Exactly.
First rule of IT.
Exactly.
I can just go back there and hold the plug in and put it in the tray.
Who turned it on?
I
don't know.
What's the question?
Where did all the speed limit signs go? Notice that they've all disappeared in residential areas.
Don't know.
Speed limit signs disappearing? Neighborhoods?
Where are they just plug into this?
You said in the neighborhoods, I think.
You're a type of camera, how do you turn the camera off?
220 more. There was 200
right,
more.
Like
there was
50 right across the street from Alley 4 down.
We don't have a lot of speed limit signs because it's already.
Just bring your
same as
this. It's 25 in the residential,
yeah,
the
otherwise
residential posted.
You've got one coming in, 40 mile an hour on the main.
That's the state.
From the north, and one from the south coming
across
the
state.
Bridge.
That's the state.
We have room to have two of them.
$250 to do a sign. We registered in our stop signs to bring those up to current car, whereas already in the 25 is in residential areas.
Why are signs so expensive?
Just the materials. Right there. Materials and installation. That's why people always have a set level of city streets for residential. It's a state road.
That's the main one.
Self property. You can't really change it. Your dad's got to change that. I don't think we change that. It's 40.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the open market exactly?
They have a bunch of interest right there. Sunrise doing that, and Sunrise doing the stuff for us. But I swear, they said Bush and Bowen. Or sorry, Bowen and Holmes.
No, I'm sure it is.
Mayor, while we're looking at this, you can move on to reports. As long as the council makes that motion, unless you want to set it and wait.
Okay. Would one of the council like to make a motion to move on to reports and do the training after the reports, after they get it fixed?
Sure.
Yeah, I'll make a motion that we move on to reports and then go back to the training after reports.
Do we have a second? We have a motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. I don't, Kyle, do you have, are you still working on that? Do you have anything to report?
Yeah, but no, I'm glasses very hot, so I'm not looking for my own.
Shocking sucker ideas.
All right.
We're kind of universal.
Bathrooms in Wanless Park, they're operational. I think Derek's going to inspect them tomorrow. Mayor and I met with Jason West at the BLM, and we're looking at the possibility of doing a congressional deal to have land swapped up by the shooting range and have that deeded over to the city. April 4th is the Easter egg hunt. April 10th through the 18th is the county fair, and we're just getting ready to set the fourth grade foresters time that we'll have the fourth grade foresters program sometime in the later part of April. And then just a reminder, I send everybody a paper next Wednesday, the 25th.
Budget retreat.
Budget retreat.
Also, the county fair, they're going to spotlight the work, and so.
Yeah.
Okay. Faye's working on something else right now, so Mike is not here. Darren?
Kyle and I attended DTEC. There's a lot of bills going on about transportation. What would you say out of all those bills was the most important?
Sure. I'm busy right now. You tell them.
I left my notes sitting on my desk, but I don't know which ones it looks. There's really nobody here, but
tell the rest.
Meredy really wants to know.
I'm having a blank. I can't even remember. There are so many things going on with that. I'll report next time.
Okay. Got anything to report?
Nothing that I went to since the last time we met.
Okay. Amanda?
Well, I gave you guys a visual presentation of my solid waste committee. There was a big push for the batteries not to go in the trash cans. And, yeah, so, like I said, I brought my show and tell with me today. So she had to leave. But that's about it. It's kind of a fascinating thing. If anyone ever wants to take a dump tour, I don't think they call it that, actually. That's probably not a good catchy name. But if anyone wants to take a tour of the solid waste area, let me know. We can get that hooked up. Apparently, it's really interesting. And they're looking at getting a crusher eventually in the future for crushing up tires. So about $1 million or $2 million project that they're thinking of. But that was probably in the future. But, and that's about it.
John?
The Planning Commission, they had the public hearing about the DADUs and short-term rentals. It was fairly well attended. We had about 20 people. But the Planning Commission wants to take it under further advisement. I think they got a work meeting scheduled for the 25th. And they also scheduled the public hearing for three of the zone changes, the commercial zones, and the mixed zone, and then there was some discussion about the Leverkusen City General Plan, and they're starting to work that up. So there'll be more on that coming. The Southwest Mosquito was kind of the initial meeting for the new committee coming in. Their budget is about, I think, $1,006,000. It's an interesting committee. I think it is there are two functions on the committee for the people that participate. One is kind of a liaison, and the other is, budgetary, inspection of records and what you spend the money on, all those kind of things. There is also, they identified their purpose, which is both to kill mosquitoes and stop illness. And there was a number of discussions about that. On the League of Cities and Towns, the legislative group, there are currently 959 open bills, 72 have been signed, so that's why you have so many dealing with transportation. There are just any number of bills on water, on land use, on taxation, and most of them are in some state of flux. They're either approved by one side of the governance, either the House or the Senate. There are some bills on hold. What's interesting is out of the entire legislature, there's about 12 days left. So, like I mean, almost any session, everything will be decided in the last day or two, more than likely. But if you have any interest in any specific bills that you want me to follow up on, you can text me or let me know.
Does everybody in the council get the update from the legal cities? Mm-hmm. The email updates every day?
Yeah. I have not.
You're not getting them?
Yeah.
I sent your email. I sent everybody's email in.
Mayor, I did remember a couple of things. There is a bill to help differentiate on the electric scooters and the bikes.
Add the definitions.
Yeah, add the definitions. And also to require helmets and for kids between the ages of 9 and 15 or whatever. So I thought that would be valuable for us to be aware of.
I've been keeping an eye on that, and then I actually had a conversation with Faye just earlier today, just to remind, you know, we talked about that last fall, you know, about changing that ordinance for our OHVs and kind of where we want to be as far as the scales of, you know, safety versus fun. And I'm more of a fun kind of person.
Yeah, sometimes.
And I think it's a good idea to wait for that to kind of all go through.
Yeah.
So if you guys are okay with that.
They also talked about that road from that goes past the dump. They want to make that a lot more accessible. They're redoing the intersection by the EMB to go all the way through, and then they'd love to build a bridge back there so all those trucks aren't going through those subdivisions in Washington back there. So that's not kind of on their top priority list. And then they finally got all of the funding approved for Sheet Bridge Road. So they bought about, I don't know how many acres across their private land for about 10,000 an acre. So they got a really good deal on it. And so they have all the money now. They have all the approval to buy all their rights away. And so they anticipate that road will be done this year across Sheet Bridge Road.
Any others?
Yeah, one of the other bills that Faye sent us, that I think it was Senate Bill 501, there have been some changes in that. They have killed the mandate. There was a mandate for 2031 that we adopt that 1%, and it really will only apply to us for culinary water. Wastewater, we don't have our own treatment system, and the secondary water would be excluded from all of that. So.
Well, have you seen what the dynamics of that is, though?
What's
on that bill, if you work it out? The state's not going to want to get out of the funding business, and so they're going to make this mandatory that we put for our city the medium income average times by the 1.5%. We would have to set aside $73 per month per connection. Every year, that means $1.6 million that would have to go into the R&R. And that doesn't address anything else with the water.
Why did they set that at 1.5% per annum? Then? What was?
Because it was 3%, but that's if you.
That's only if you had
the sewer, which we don't. Yeah. But that means Ash Creek would be raising interest rates also.
Yeah, and there was questions about the double billing, like if we're going to also absorb whatever the cost increases are for the districts, you know.
Yeah.
Because it's likely that they're going to raise their rates, and we'll pay those also.
Yeah, but I mean, this is huge. You think we went through a staggering increase just recently. This will blow that out of the water because the federal government no longer is funding these types of projects, and the state thinks all the cities should stand on their own. And so they're going to give it X amount of time to commit to clients and not give you funding at all.
They've been preaching this for at least 25 years, and I'm aware of, and it sounds like they're now going to do something about it. So.
Yeah, it's huge.
Well, yeah. Still being opposed, but I don't know if that's going to change anything. Most of those that get to the floor, it's like 97% of them don't make it.
That would be a tough.
They get approved.
That'd be a tough one for them to pass, I think. They'll get a lot of pushback from everybody, but.
Yeah, some of the bigger cities just have an amazing amount of
funding
at risk.
Yeah, it would be.
So I don't know how it gets through, but.
Anything else, John?
No.
Faye, do you have anything?
I was just going to report on the same thing, House Bill 105.
501.
Yeah, there's some. We're tracking that basically to see what changes might be made. I think it may be on the agenda for our water board meeting to kind of kick around, discuss.
Yeah.
So, okay. Report back here. One other thing I could maybe report on at our last planning commission meeting, we had a public hearing on the ordinance which would allow detached accessory dwelling units to be used for short-term rental purposes. Most of the people in the audience were in favor of it. Few were not in favor of it. The Planning Commission was not real comfortable with it, so they continued it to their next meeting, which is next week. They're going to be having a work meeting at 5 o'clock just simply to discuss that ordinance. And so if any of you are able to come or want to come, listen to that conversation, then it might be worthwhile.
Okay.
Eventually it will come to us as the city council to make a decision one way or the other.
Yeah. Okay. I guess that's everybody. Next item on the agenda then is the training. You get that ready for training?
There it goes.
So what is the Open Public Meetings Act? It's the state law that ensures government actions and deliberations are openly conducted. Before we continue, keep in mind that this video is an overview and exceptions may exist based on your entity type. We focus on local government, not state requirements. When in doubt, read the law and consult with your legal counsel. So what's considered an open and public meeting? It's when a public body quorum, also known as a simple majority, meets to discuss or act upon government business. It includes the meetings sometimes referred to as workshops or executive sessions. Regular meetings, public hearings, electronic meetings, and emergency meetings are all open public meetings. Open public meetings don't include chance or social meetings. A public hearing is a type of open public meeting where citizens have a reasonable opportunity to speak. Public hearings happen when a government adopts a budget, imposes or increases taxes or fees, or transfers money from an enterprise fund. These meetings have extra notice and posting requirements and won't be addressed in this video. An electronic meeting is a type of open and public meeting that's convened electronically, such as via phone or the internet. Remember, the governing body must adopt a resolution, rule, or ordinance allowing and governing electronic meetings. OPMA has additional requirements too. An emergency meeting may be held to discuss an urgent matter due to unforeseen circumstances. In order to hold a meeting, the best notice that's feasible is provided of the time, location, and topics to be considered. And if not, is made to contact all governing body members and the governing body majority approves the meeting. An open and public meeting may be closed to discuss any of the following: a person's character, competence, or health, collective bargaining, litigation, certain real property transactions, including any form of a water right or water shares with specific restrictions, security personnel, devices, or systems deployment, investigations of criminal misconduct, and private or protected information from the Utah Procurement Code, including trade secrets. A closed meeting may be held only if a quorum is present and the meeting was properly noticed. 2/3 of the governing body present at the meeting need to vote yes to close the meeting. Quick math lesson. 2 divided by 3 equals 66.7%. Let's say your governing body has 5 members present at the meeting. If 3 out of 5 members vote yes, that equals 60%, which is not equal or greater than 66.7%. which means we're one member short and would need 4 out of 5 members to vote yes. During a closed meeting, a governing body can't interview someone applying to fill an elected position, discuss filling a midterm vacancy or temporary absence, discuss the character, competence, or health of the person whose name was submitted for consideration to fill a midterm vacancy or temporary absence, approve any ordinance, resolution, rule, regulation, contract, or appointment, or take a vote, unless it's a vote on a motion to end the closed portion of the meeting and return to an open meeting. When a governing body closes a meeting, the following must be publicly announced and entered into the minutes of the open meeting of which the closed meeting was approved. The reason or reasons for holding the closed meeting, the location where the closed meeting will be held, and the vote of each member of the governing body, either for or against the motion to close the meeting. If a closed meeting is discussing a person's character, competence, or health, or security, personnel, devices, or systems deployment, or several other exceptions, mostly related to state bodies or project entities, no recording or minutes are required. However, the presiding member needs to sign a sworn written statement stating such. If the closed meeting is held for any other reason, a recording must be made, which includes date, time, and place of the meeting, names of members present and absent, and names of all others, except where disclosure would infringe on the confidentiality necessary to fulfill the original purpose of closing the meeting. Regular open and public meetings require 24 hours notice. The public notice includes the meeting, agenda, date, time, and place. Public meeting agendas need to include reasonably specified topics to be considered, with each topic listed under a separate agenda item on the meeting agenda. The governing body may not consider a topic in an open meeting that wasn't on the agenda. If a new topic not on the agenda is raised by the public during an open meeting, the governing body may discuss the topic. However, final action may not be taken on the new topic during that meeting. Additionally, entities holding regular meetings scheduled in advance over the course of the year need to provide annual notice of the entire year's meeting schedule. The notice must include date, time, and place for each meeting.
Notice is posted on the public body's website, in a public location such as the location where the meeting will be held, and on Utah's public notice website in accordance with Utah Code 63G-30-102.
Typically, posting on the public notice website is done by the records officer, recorder, or clerk. However, it's the governing body's responsibility to ensure notice is provided. State Archives has prepared a training manual with guides for owners and posters, as well as training videos that can be accessed at their website, archives.utah.gov. Written minutes and the recording are kept of all open meetings, with few exceptions. Written minutes include the date, time, and place of the meeting, the names of members present and absent, the substance of all matters, names of citizens providing comments, the substance of the comments provided, any information a body member requests to be entered into the minutes or recording, and a record by individual member of each vote taken. A body of elected members must record each vote in list format by category for each action taken by a member, including yes votes, no votes, and absent members next to each member's name. A recording must be a complete and unedited record of all open portions of the meeting from beginning to end, and be labeled with the meeting date, time, and place. All or any part of an open meeting may be independently recorded by any person in attendance if the recording does not interfere with the conduct of the meeting. Pending minutes means written minutes of an open meeting in draft form subject to change before being approved by the public body of the open meeting. Pending minutes must contain a clear indication, such as a draft or pending watermark, that the governing body hasn't yet approved the minutes, and that the minutes are subject to change until the public body approves them. Approved minutes means written minutes of an open meeting approved by the public body that held the open meeting. Entities must establish and implement procedures for the public body's approval of written minutes. Public meeting pending minutes, approved minutes, and recordings are public records underground. Any individual who publicly presents information related to an item on the public body's meeting agenda must provide a copy of the information for inclusion in the public record. Make pending minutes available to the public within 30 days. Within 3 business days after approving written minutes of an open meeting, make approved minutes and any public materials available at the Utah Public Notice website, BNB's primary office and BNB's website. Within 3 business days after holding an open meeting, make an audio recording of the open meeting available to the public for listening.
There you go, I'll train.
That's it?
We're off the set.
All right. Any questions from the council?
Where did these little hands come from?
The elementary school made you a big Valentine and public
We have one other item on the agenda, and that is citizens' comment. We have 2 citizens in the audience. Any comments? Okay, yes or none. We stand adjourned then. Thanks for coming, everybody.
Thank you. Wait, it's cold outside.